You're damn right we start now. In the loop, Sports Radio 610, as he mentioned, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula. Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
We just we went to the Game of Thrones, which, I mean, look, popular show, so let's not pretend like it's not that, but let's get cooler. We could talk about that, but why would we do that when we could talk about the coolest man maybe in the league, right? He was the AFC Player of the Week. His name is offensive player, that is. His name is Joe Mixon, right? Mm-hmm. And he might have done something even more spectacular than just putting up damn near 160 yards, damn near 180 all-purpose. Did he change, in fact, the way that this team is going to go about offense for the entirety of the season? That's the question. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You can also catch us on the YouTube and the Twitch. Yeah. Those things are always available. And the Odyssey app is always, always there for you. But Lopez, do you think that Joe Mixon, his performance on Sunday, changed the path, changed the future of this offense and how they operate?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this before the show. The answer to me is absolutely yes. Now, that's a good thing in every way. Because, you know, DeMeco Ryans came in here, you know, even before they drafted C.J. Stroud and said, we want to be a running team. We want to run first. We want to establish the run. We want to do this and that. It's what they do. It's what he is. Even in San Francisco, you know, as much as, you know, that offense is predicated on the quarterback making big plays, they run the ball. It's the zone scheme, offensive blocking and running the ball. If Joe Mixon continues on this path, and I'm not saying 159, we always have to qualify it because nobody is expecting that. But if he is that...
Someone's expecting it. I think someone is somewhere.
Who's expecting 159 yards a game?
I'm not saying they're being reasonable, but someone in there is like, yeah, 159's coming back again.
Sean just said he's expecting it.
You walked outside. Yeah. There's definitely somebody out in this 2 million person area here that's expecting that.
It's like that people, that those guys that... expected Yao Ming to score 78 points a game because he was tall.
That's right. It's just, all he's doing is just put the ball in the basket.
So it's easy.
Right. You're just dropping it in.
It's so easy.
That's the same guy who says he averages 4.2 yards per carry.
That's right.
Just hand him the ball every time.
That's right.
Or even first and 10, not
even
first
better.
And 15.
Right? You win every time you run the ball 20 times. So just run the ball 20 times. And you win.
Yeah, we ran 20 carries for 26 yards. We're supposed to win.
So I was thinking about this because DeMeco talked about him yesterday. CJ talked about him. He spoke as well in the locker room. And this is a with this version, let me put it that way, Reggie, with this version of Joe Mixon for 15, 16, 17 games, hopefully all 17, but we know how the NFL is, this is a different offense than what we expected.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
For sure. Because, like, and we might have already kind of, like, gotten too deep on this, right, in the ways of it's been a week. But, man, like, the idea that you can really change pace, right, like, mm-hmm. In baseball terms, I don't even know, would this be considered the curveball? Like the idea of, hey, you know that you have the passing game to deal with. You know that you have the five-headed monster, I guess, or like in the pass game, the three, four-headed monster of you got Diggs, you got Collins, you got Dell.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have to deal with the tight ends as well, making sure that they don't then eat you up because you're worried about those guys. And, oh, yeah, that's right. If you get too light in the butt in the box, we will walk you down all the way down the field, right? Like that additional element, mm-hmm. and that's very apparent, especially with Joe Mixon himself, right? Not just the idea of running the ball, but running the ball between the tackles when you needed to, like those types of things, for sure. So, yeah, I think that definitely shifts.
Well, and here's the other thing, is despite him rushing for 159 yards, as we've talked about, is any defense, including the Bears on Sunday night, are they going to go into the game saying, dude, everything we all our resources, let's do everything we can to stop Joe Mixon? I don't think so. I don't think they are. I still think they know what CJ Stroud is. They know what these receivers are. So that's why I'm saying, like, this is the best thing that's happened to the Texans in a long time, because the offense now, CJ Stroud got better, even if the numbers aren't better.
Yeah.
All the receivers got better, even if they don't all go for 3,000 yards. And so, like, the whole approach of this offense has changed, and I think that's it's made the Texans, presuming he can keep this up and they can keep you know, balancing it like they have with him, leaning more toward him, that this has become a team that is more dangerous than ever.
Absolutely. And I think also the unique way that this thing went, it wasn't just a good performance, it was a dominant run performance. Mm-hmm. And of course, I do need to take a second to be like, hey, Kenyon Green, hey, the rest of this offensive line, you guys also obviously factored into this. Why every year at the end of the season, or whoever, whatever running back had a monster of a season, they go in and make sure that they spend some money on those big uglies, as they like to call them, in the trenches, right? No disrespect to those fine fellas. But, yeah, man, when it comes down to that, like, I think the way that they did this, the high level that they did this, I think also makes it very apparent that you can win in different ways. Not only do you have an additional pitch in your arsenal, right, to continue the baseball metaphor that started earlier, like, now you also have this where if you have a game like a B-minus game, or if you have a C game somehow with the offense or with the passing offense, which does not feel like it's a thing that can happen, to be completely honest, but if somehow you do, You can switch the perspective, or maybe you can even come into a game and you're like, we are going to run to win this game, as opposed to that is a compliment. Yeah. It can carry the day if you need it to, especially when you have somebody that's able to put up 160.
But that said, put on your defensive coordinator hat if you have one. If you're a defensive coordinator about to face the Texans, are you saying we've got to stop Joe Mixon? I mean, obviously he's in the game plan, but your defense is still going to be what it was in Indianapolis. You know, you still have to worry about C.J. Stroud.
For sure.
So that's why I'm saying Joe Mixon, like, you talk about a bird's nest on the ground.
You think this is foul money?
like this is the best thing that's happened to him. And, oh, by the way, shout out to D'Amico and especially Nick Caserio. Keep in mind, let's try to remember this because I forgot. They traded a 7th-round pick for him, dude.
Yeah, man.
A 7th-round pick,
that is
Biggie,
nothing.
For a guy like that. Unbelievable.
Right. And, like, the crazy thing is that it paid dividends immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't even know. How different would this feel if you got this in, like, week 10?
A lot different.
Right? Where it's like, all right, it's been solid, but then, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Week 1, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a whole different element.
They can do that.
Yeah, you start questioning why Cincinnati traded the guy.
Yeah,
what's wrong with y'all?
You got rid of him for Zach Moss?
Mm-hmm. Which, actually, I don't know how much I question that. That just feels like, oh, okay, you can only not be the Bengals for so long.
Yeah, that's that cheapness coming out of there.
Yeah.
You can see that cheapness dripping.
Yeah.
That's right. And, yes, 361 on the text line. Again, 713-572-4610. I'd hate to be the defensive coordinator for the Bears this week.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like, I hate to be the defensive coordinator for any team. I think this is the crux of what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. That now this puts every defensive coordinator in that much more of a bind, because not to say that this Texas team was one-dimensional, but you could probably view them as one-dimensional, especially after the running attack that they had last season. Yeah. All right, they're just going to pass the ball. Even that was going to be a problem, because where are they passing the ball? The issues that this receiving core that this offense provides are tough ones to deal with. You have pretty much every style of player, players that can, you know, facilitate every style of passing, where you talk about, you know, big jump ball guy, you talk about precise route running, you talk about anything that you want within that, right? Like, just kind of finding open space and, you know, sitting in spaces between the zones, right? You have all of that. So that was already going to make defense tough enough. And then you add the element of, now you also have to try and defend all of that, but then also not get too loose on it to where a running back is going to tear you up. A running game is going to tear you up. Like, I don't know if there's a defense that exists that accounts for every single one of those possibilities all at the same time.
And that's why I said, we talked about at the very beginning here, did it change the path of the offense? The path of this offense now is such that you're going into every game, as I mentioned, you know, it's still CJ and the receivers, but that's going to change in a heartbeat. And then what happens on the other side? They go back to the receivers deep. They, you know, it opens everything up. Like, this is a team all of a sudden that, if this continues, huge if, we're 1 week into 17 or 18 weeks, but 17 games, you know, it could change. But if this path continues, like, this offense might be one of those that, you know, I don't want to make any comparisons because people immediately go there, but might be one of those that people look back on and say, wow, they had every element. And we thought going in it was going to be CJ and the receivers, you know?
Yeah. All right. I appreciate the 979 text. Or sorry, 346. You guys are tripping. Barring injury, I expect at least one more game with more yards and less carries.
I don't think that's outrageous.
Ooh. Running wise?
Because he could bust one.
For sure. That's true. Because, like, they just punished him. Yeah, that is also a great point. That why have I not considered that, right?
He didn't bust a 50 yarder.
Did you have a 20-plus yarder run in this one?
Yeah.
From him? Like, I don't think he did, if I remember correctly.
He was the king of I used this line a
over and over and over again.
I used this line a long time ago, and it just occurred to me. I think I used it in a column. I'll put it this way. I said the Texans. Joe Mixon was gaining yards only a counterfeiter would love in 10s and 20s. That's how he was just chunking up 10 yarders on your ass, and it kept doing that.
It was the petty person who's like, I'm gonna pay back the debt, but you're getting it in pennies, right? Like, this is just going to happen to where it's not just that you're going to give up this big chunk of money. It's going to happen in very slow increments to the point where those are the things that are the most demoralizing for defense. I think I heard Andy Kalu talking about it on one of the Texas All Access Texas All Access shows on this very program, and we'll talk to our guy Andy at 11 on this program. But it's demoralizing. It's not just we let one play up and we just got to fix that thing. It's like we are trying a whole bunch of different things over various plays that just wear you down. And I love it, man. I love that that's available to you.
I do too. Joe Mixon's best season was in 2021, 1,200 plus yards rushing, 42 catches. If he gets that, this is going to be a team that's on a path to one of the all-time great offenses. And the other part of this is the way that he got it. No, it is. Like if you get 1,242 catches, then you're not going to have the 3,000-yard receivers or whatever, but you're going to have an offense that is going to absolutely just destroy people. I mean, it's going to be one of those type offenses. D'Amico talked about him yesterday. CJ talked about him yesterday. They know it. They know that if we can just keep this guy healthy, what they have going.
All right, you mentioned these guys. It seems like also you got this from Cody Stoops.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon on We Have Reservations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's more so the attitude and that mentality. You know, me and Steph talk about it all the time about how we got reservations. And we late. You know what I'm saying? So we trying to go get to it. And, you know, when people turn on that tape and they play them Texans, they not out there bullshit. And when you turn on that tape, that's what you want to see. So we only going to get better. We only going to get more polished in the offensive side of it. And we just got to do whatever we can to play collectively as a team.
The possibilities are just, they're just teasing us now because we're only one game in. And but the possibilities are incredible.
The thing I love about that is like, hey, man, we on business right now.
Yes.
And I think that might be the one thing about this performance mentality wise. And I try not to go into like kind of the psychology of this all because we can get into a place where we're kind of just talking out of our keisters at times. But like the psychology of it, I talk about wearing a defense down like. The run game is just a different type of psychology than the pass game, right? It is just like, hey, man, we heard this phrase as well, grown man football, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is a strap on, right? Strap up and, get to work because it's going to be a long day for you. And I think that particularly in that performance, especially in the ways that it wasn't big chunk plays, giant chunk plays, it was like, boom, successful run, successful run, successful run. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the mentality that it also inflicts on a defense is really the
I think that mentality is the big part of the story. In fact, you can sense it, even in this cut, because I don't know who the other player was, but another player in the background when he said, we have reservations and we're late.
Yeah,
the other guy, play that
in
again.
Chorus.
Play that again, Figgy, at the very end. Listen to the background. So I think this is a mentality that is sort of emanating throughout the entire locker room. We're going to have the type of offense that when you play us, you know you're going to play it. You know you played us. And not only that, we got a dude here.
Our mentality. You know, me and Steph talk about it all the time about how we got reservations. And we late.
We late.
Which means, like, look, man, this is a rallying cry. This ain't just like a thought process. Yeah. This wasn't just a thing that they said. This is a rallying cry.
Yeah.
And, man, one of the things I love about this team thus far is just those rallying cries are things that they clearly believe to the core. They hold dear, right? Mm-hmm. And I imagine for a lot of coaches, in fact, you've coached before in your lifetime, right? There's always a message that you're trying to get to your team. And I imagine over time, you see that some stick more with teams than others, right? Some are just like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But that's not actually going to apply. These ones, it feels like this team is really internalized. And it's nice that it's not just the ones that are coming from the top down with D'Amico, right? The swarm mentality does, in fact, stick. But this is one that seems to come from the quarterback and the running back and everybody. Like, you do have people still buying in and believing in that way.
All right, let's play this game. I've been trying to avoid
713 said that was Stephon Diggs.
It sounded like him, and he mentioned Steph, but I didn't want to make that assumption. But
that's right.
Either way, 713-572-4610. Let's go ahead and play that game.
Uh-oh.
If you get this, not the 159, but a guy that can finish with 1,200 yards and 40 to 42 catches, what would this offense compare to?
I mean, before you even got to that place, the 832 came in and said, very similar to the greatest show on turf.
That's the one I was thinking of. I'm not going to lie. And look, we're caught up.
Pass me some of that Kool-Aid.
No, that's why I didn't want to say it.
And a very, very strong if. That's mm-hmm. the if was carrying a lot of weight there.
Yeah, if was a fifth.
Yeah, no.
Dude, man.
No, look.
We'd be throwing up right now.
you are preaching to the choir.
We'd be.
and that's why I was avoiding bringing it up.
You'd be like them boys on Mad Dog Monday.
Yeah.
Like.
But if you get 1,240 catches... I'm not going to say greatest show on turf, but I thought of it. I thought of the mid-90s Cowboys. You got a guy like Emmitt, chunking up. And he was that type of runner. He wasn't real fast. He wasn't a real, Barry Sanders 60-yard type. He was a 8-10, 15, 8-30, something like that. And I'm not saying they're going to be that. I'm saying the path of this offense, how we started this whole conversation, has changed. The type of offense we expected and the type of offense we expect now, for me anyway, is different.
And I think this is an interesting thing that comes in from 346, where their concern with the Texans is, will Bobby Slowick know what to do with all the toys? And that ends up being, right, like, there is a possibility, and we've seen this in all various portions of life, where you can get paralyzed by indecision mm-hmm. because you have too many options available for you. It's one of the reasons why I firmly am a believer in, like, parameters are freeing, right? You have certain things where it's not endless possibilities. Yeah. Now we narrow this down, and I have some freedom within this box, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things is that is going to be something to watch. But the first test on that, Bobby Slowick passed it pretty well because he managed to get some balance. But then also they did not deviate from the thing that was successful.
Yeah, Mixon his course. I guarantee he didn't go in there saying we're going to run the ball 30 times.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mixon got the ball 30 times running the football, right? But you still were able to balance all these things. And so I have belief in his capability of balancing all those things. And I think that is going to be a thing to continue to watch. Dear listener, but I do think that is interesting. Shout out to A32 mentions Oilers run a shoot. Mm-hmm. How you feel about that as a comparison?
No, not at all. Because they had good running backs, don't get me wrong.
But nothing like...
The running game was really draws, delayed traps, that type stuff. It wasn't pound. They didn't have a tight end. The run and shoot does not have a tight end.
Sure, but I mean, like, now you're getting into the...
No, I'm saying they didn't, because Joe Mixon pounded them, That wasn't the run and shoot. The run and shoot was more deception. Mm-hmm. But the receiver part, I'm with.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Keep texting those in. What could this offense look like if you get what seems like is a possibility for the upper echelon of what this team could be? But I think the answer that we can definitely agree on is that performance that you got, that running performance you got against the Colts week one,
mm-hmm.
that shifts the way that things can go, the way that things can happen. And, I mean, we get our next data point Sunday night football, NRG Stadium versus the Bears. Liberty wideout. Make sure you get your parking done before Sunday, because if you try and get it done on Sunday, you will be sorely, sorely disappointed. There you go. Coming up next, I don't know, does this feel like a sore disappointment? Both of those words feel like puns in some ways, because the Astros injuries popping back up. We'll talk about that next.